Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, welcome to another powerful week in the Paula Price Show. Dr. Price, you're back in Tulsa. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know how much I love Tulsa, Ashley. So we you know, and that's saying something, because, you know, when God sent me all these years ago, I had to learn to fall in love with Tulsa. Well, I have fallen in love with Tulsa. Yes, see, you understand. I have fallen in love with Tulsa, love being here. Thank God for this city, for the state, and all of that. But can I tell you, in honesty, I miss our Florida trip. It was amazing. You know, now we did have that little snafu coming home when we were kind of grounded in Atlanta. But, you know, snafus can be interesting too.
It's so true.
So, to answer your question, I'm glad to be back home. We have so many things. We came home full of blessings and abundance and opportunity and all of that. I personally want to shout out again and thank Apostle Trevor Banks there in Fort Pierce, Florida, you know, for what they've done at Resurrection Life, Embassy of Faith. And then, you know, I want to also shout out and thank Apostles Brinson, who is in, now let me get it right, Fort Lauderdale. See, I had Fort Pierce and Fort Lauderdale mixed up last week, but I'm there today. Was in Fort Lauderdale with Redeeming Word. I thank God for what he's doing in the ministry of his apostles and the things that he's going to do. Actually, I hope soon, because, you know, we're going to be in Florida. You know, Florida is like a blessed place for me. You know, I ought to have a home there or something. I mean, some of my most significant breakthroughs have happened in Florida. Have you noticed that, Ashley?
Yes, I have. And I appreciate the Lord having you have breakthroughs in such a beautiful state.
And we know that you have no personal conflict of interest at all, do you?
No.
But I've noticed that even going back, I want to say maybe 20 years ago or so, that, you know, some of the most significant things that happened to me and breakthroughs have been in Florida. I mean, think about my dictionary, Ashley. I mean, come on, I got an amazing endorsement from, you know, Bill Hammond on my dictionary, Dr. Bill Hammond. Where's he? Florida. Isn't that powerful? I mean, God you know, the Holy One got his portals for us, and we should all know our portals, and we should all know where the heavens are open on our channel. Because, you know, and when we think about the Internet and how powerful it is, everything has a channel. It all has a number. This is the wire that gets from you to the web and from the web and everything else and get it back to you. So I really think that Florida is one of those spots. Texas is another for me. Always. I'm in Oklahoma because it started out being one. So I think that's really interesting. But to me, wonderful things happen to me in the state of Florida. So I'm thinking that whenever I do get around to being able to relax, I'm going to find me a nice little getaway place there in Florida where the refreshing and the water, and I know, Ashley, you'll want to be a part of that place because you have such a love for the state.
Yes, Dr. Price, and I am here to bear arms for you, you know? Whatever I can be of service, that's where I'm going to be.
You're going to put it on the line for me in Florida, aren't you, girl? You're going to lay it all down for that.
That's right.
I love it. Well, we had a great time, but again, I mentioned that I'm going to be there again in September, but let's talk about where I'm going to be in a couple of weeks. I will be back in Joliet at Antioch Christian Assembly with my beloved daughter, Apostle Nona Parker, and I can honestly say that is a daughter, that she is a daughter to me in every sense of the word. We're doing her Apostolic Summit in August. We were there last year. It was abundant. It was amazing. This year, it promises to be greater still. And so I want to tell all of you all there in that region, or if you're just ready to hear what God is doing next, then come. If any of you have ever been to my events, you know, because actually we always hear people say, well, you know, I'm conference on or whatever. Not with me. I don't do conference as usual. There's nothing that I do as usual, which is why I'm a groundbreaking apostle, because I break ground, break molds, etc. And so I want to invite you all to join us there in Joliet in a couple of weeks, isn't it, Ashley?
Ma'am, in Joliet, Illinois, for the Chicagoland Apostolic Summit, August 21st through the 23rd. It's right around the corner because we're already in August.
Yeah, can you believe that? Ninth month of the year. When did it come? Okay? And we're racing through it. I do believe that the Lord switched, what you call it, flipped the switch, and got us racing to keep up with this time. He has said to me that he has some, we have a lot of catch-up to do, and he has quite a bit of catch-up to do as well. So tell them how to meet us there, how to get away. We'll leave that with Prophet Adia. You know, she does such a great job at it. I think we ought to put her to work. What do you think?
I'm always in agreement with that.
Well, hold on for a minute. I want to talk about a little bit about where we're going to go today. Ashley, I have been having a blast on Facebook. I've been reaching, you know, thousands a week and thousands, and I'm surprised because I, you know, did not realize it, but our posts are gaining momentum and gaining reads and responses and comments. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about, after we hear from Prophet Adia, I want to go back because yesterday's post talking about kingdom strategies or home training, it got quite a bit of a stir, and but it brought out some questions, and people have asked for definition. Well, I think this is a good place as any for me to give them some clarity and a little bit more finite information on kingdom or church. Because, you know, people are stuck in that. You know, aren't we all the kingdom of God? I mean, after all, the Bible says the kingdom of God is within us. So now, aren't we all the kingdom of God? So how does that work? And then we're also the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is the church. And the church. So that, you know, and unless somebody goes in and kind of unravels that a little bit for you and then cuts right on that bone, you need that joint and marrow cut. So we need some incisive discussion on that. I'd like to do that today, Ashley. Right after we come back from her, because I think it's jump-starting, especially in view of what we enjoyed this morning in prayer. God is doing this thing. He's doing it without our permission. He's doing it according to his own wisdom and his sovereignty, and he's not asking us if we approve or disapprove. He's not even asking us if we want to join him or not. Is there what is coming down on our planet, what the Lord has purposed in his heart and scheduled in creation for this time is going to happen. So when we come back from her, I want to just address that a little bit post because I think it's just it's touching something in the body and something in the kingdom that should be addressed. So that's the first thing I want to do. And when we come back from her, Ashley, we're going to talk a little bit about the great thing that's shaping up for us in Florida. I'm going to be in Connecticut with another one of my beloved daughters, Apostle Suzanne Howard. Cannot wait to get there. Love that woman. Amazing woman of God. Looking forward to that as well. So why don't we hear from Prophet Adia, and then let's come back, wrap up a little bit more housekeeping so that I can jump into this.
Well, all right, Dr. Sun. We have coming up Live on the Wire with Prophet Adia Peterson. Prophet Adia, why don't you tell us what's going on in the amazing world of Dr. Paula Price?
Well, good morning, good morning. Thank you, Prophet Ashley. Greetings, blessings to you, Dr. Price, and the entire Paula Price Show audience. We want to let you know a little bit about how you can catch up with Dr. Price online. You can catch up with her during the show and after the show. So just a few things. Of course, we want to let you know where Dr. Price will be next. Just a really big shout-out of thank you to our Florida crew. Thank you for hosting Dr. Price. Thank you for such a powerful trip. So if you're in Florida and you're listening, we're waving to you. We thank you. God bless you guys. Dr. Price is going to be on the road again at the end of this month. She's going to be in the Chicago area in Joliet, Illinois, for the Chicagoland Apostolic Summit. Those dates are the 21st through the 23rd of August. So it's going to kick off on that 21st. You do not want to miss this. It's going to be a powerful event. I believe that first service is going to kick off in the evening on Thursday at 6:30. So if you would like to register and be a part of the Chicagoland Apostolic Summit, you can actually visit the host church site. It's going to be hosted by Antioch Christian Assembly in Joliet, Illinois. And that website address is www.antioch, A-N-T-I-O-C-H, antiochci.org. Antiochci.org. You can register right there on the homepage. If you just scroll down, you'll be able to see all the information about the summit, and you'll also be able to register right there online. The daytime sessions for the Chicagoland Summit are only $30. There's a full-day session on Friday and a day sessions on Saturday. The evening sessions are going to be open to the public, so it's going to be a powerful trip up there. You can also see all the speakers and get all of the news for that event. Coming September, Dr. Price is going to be in Hartford, Connecticut at the Apostles' House on September 19th. That's going to be a powerful time out there with Apostle Suzanne Howard and the entire crew at the Apostles' House. Listen, if you're in that area, you do not want to miss it. So you can go online to theapostleshouse.net, and you can get all the information that you need about where Dr. Price will be, the phone number to contact the ministry so that you can be in attendance for that very special time. If you're on the East Coast, you know, Dr. Price doesn't get to Connecticut too often. So definitely, if you're going to be in the Connecticut area, Make the drive to be there, be able to meet her, shake her hand, hug her neck, and let her know how the Paula Price Show is blessing your life. So Connecticut, East Coast, we're shouting out to you. We're going to be there September for that special event with the Apostles' House. Now, listen, coming in November, you know, this year, just like last year, when they started launching the Chicagoland Apostolic Summit, now we have two summits, two locations. So if you're not able to make the Chicagoland Summit or you're not in that area, we want you to join us here in Tulsa in November for our annual Apostolic Summit that we host right here at home. I tell you what, it's going to be action-packed. Dr. Paula Price is going to be hosting that event along with her near apostles and her apostolic council. Apostle Matthew Stevenson is going to be coming down to join us from the Chicago area. So we're pumped about what God is going to be doing. Tony Mason, a talented man of God, musician in the Tulsa area, is going to be ministering. So you do not want to miss the Tulsa Apostolic Summit. Those dates are the 20th through the 22nd of November. We right now, that's full days. We've got full days of training. It is not a conference. Bring your laptop. Come ready to learn. You're going to get apostleship training, fivefold ministry training, kingdom leadership training, and learn how contemporary apostleship is to be played out right now. So it's a totally different conversation about apostleship than you have ever heard before. You need to come out and join us the 20th through the 22nd. This is what I've been saying about the summit this year. I say, let's get to work. Apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, let's get to work. Let's see what we can do about the coming season of the church, and there's no better place to do it than our Apostolic Summit, the 20th through the 22nd of November. Right now, through the 31st of August, we have buy one, get one free. It is the best deal that you're going to get. Grab a friend, buy one, get one free for $125. It's going to cover all of your training, three action-packed days that you don't want to miss. Your registration covers all of it. Join us here. It's going to be hosted at the Southern Hills Crown Plaza Hotel. You can call. I'm going to give you this number now, but you can also find this online. If you want to book your reservations now, the Southern Hills Crown Plaza is going to be where it will be hosted. That number is 918-492-5000, 918-492-5000. And you can register now. It's only $79 a night if you're registering when you specify Paula Price Ministries. Don't hesitate. Make the call, book your room, book your flight, and let's get to work. We'll see you November 20th through the 22nd. So it's buy one, get one. And you can find all this information at drpaulaprice.com, of course. We want you to visit drpaulaprice.com today. Excuse me, today, during the broadcast and after, so that you can register for what you need to register for, but also so that you can go ahead and purchase your copy of Before the Garden, God's Eternal Continuum. Of course, I wouldn't be giving any announcement without announcing that you can pre-order your copy right now, drpaulaprice.com. When you get to that site, you're going to see right there on the homepage where you can pre-order your ebook copy or pre-order your paperback copy. And this week, especially for our listeners and those who have been following Dr. Price and are excited about the book, we posted some sneak peeks on our special new media page on drpaulaprice.com. We want you to go there right now. Visit the sneak peek. You get to read an excerpt from the introduction. You're going to love it. The book is a powerhouse. So go to drpaulaprice.com, visit that homepage so that you can read all about how you can get your pre-ordered copy of Before the Garden, God's Eternal Continuum. Dr. Price is going to be talking with you all more and more about this as we get closer and closer to our red carpet launch for Before the Garden. This release is in this coming September, this fall, we're going to be releasing this book. It's going to change your world, and there'll be a powerful launch and launch party that we're going to be doing in the Florida area at the end of September. Dr. Price is going to tell you all more about that and give you a personal invitation to join her for that very, very special event. But we're so excited about what God is doing with Before the Garden. Now, before I let you go today, last but certainly never least, we want you to hit your post online on Facebook or Twitter. We want to say God bless you to all of our Facebook fans. Facebook, we can't do this without you. There's such a large representation of you all out there that let us know that you're listening to the programs and reading Dr. Price's posts. We love you all. Continue to post. Continue to let us know how this show is changing your life. If you're a first-time listener today, we want to welcome you to the program. It's such an honor for us to be able to be a part of your life every Thursday at 11 o'clock. And if you are listening for the first time today, go ahead. Jump on Facebook.com/Dr. Paula Price. Let us know you're a first-time listener. We're going to send you a special gift for being a first-time listener to the show, Facebook.com/Dr. Paula Price. And you'll be able to find her there and catch up with all of her blogs. And also, let us know what you think about the show today. Twitter.com, shouting out to you. We love you guys. Thank you to our Twitter family. You're always retweeting, posting. We encourage you to continue. Spread the word. Let everybody know where they can find the best prophetic program out there with the best audience in the world. I'm going to leave you with this special quote from Kevin Austin, one of our Facebook followers. This is regarding Dr. Price's Florida trip. He said, Dr. Price, I enjoyed your entire presentation and the direction that you have led and the path of Jesus that you continue to lead people on. So thank you. That's from Kevin Austin, one of our Facebook followers. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for posting. Again, thank you for listening. You're on right now with the Paula Price Show at blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show, blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show. Tell a friend. Make sure you stay on the line. Press 1 to speak to Dr. Price if you're listening on the phone. And, of course, I'll see you online. Back to you, Prophet Ashley.
Well, all right. Thank you, Prophet Adia. Live on the wire. She is keeping us connected. Dr. Price, do you feel informed about your own life now?
I really do. And I tell you the truth, I look forward to that clarity. I like what she said about the post. You know, I do want to hear from you. Your comments do not go all unnoticed. Now, I'm not going to say that we get every single one or that I catch them all the time, but I do want to hear. I do listen. We listen. My staff listens. They read your posts. We share them on the road. We share them with our followers and whatever. So don't think that it's not worth it. What you think is important. That's why Facebook was created, because somebody woke up and said what we think is important, and perhaps a lot of people should know about it, but certainly other people. So do that. Make sure you Facebook me. I like what she said about, too, Ashley. Let us know what you think about the show. Really important. And some of you have done that. I get some great posts right after the show on Thursday. And listen, now that's one of my favorite things. If you say, well, Dr. Price, what is one of the favorite things you like to do regarding us? That's it. I love reading those posts after the show. How about you, Ashley? Don't you enjoy it?
Oh, absolutely. Well, after the show, during the show, especially when you drop a bomb on us, and we've been Dr. Priced, as we say, it's great to see the immediate impact that it has on our listeners and the body of Christ at large.
Amen. So now, Ashley, we have something powerful coming up in Florida. I want you to talk about it. I think Prophet Dewan, Apostle Dewan, is doing amazing work down there, and she has really just blessed our lives. So talk to them about her and her prophetic group that we're going to attend and how it's the launch pad. God has set this up to be the launch pad for Before the Garden, God's eternal continuum.
Well, absolutely, Dr. Price. You know, I think one thing we have definitely realized over the years is when God is ready for something to happen, it's going to happen. And it's time for Before the Garden to come forth. And so the apostles and the prophets who have an ear to hear what God is saying are picking up the torch and running with it. Apostle Dwan Rawlinson is that person. She's in Jacksonville, Florida, and you are going to be there at the end of September, September 26th, that Friday night. You're going to be ministering. They're going to roll out the red carpet for a release party and a book signing for Before the Garden. Those of you who attend, you will be able to walk away. Dr. Price has pushed up the release date. She's making it happen. You're going to walk away with your copy, and I'm excited because I'll actually have my copy of Before the Garden. If you purchase the, I believe it's the platinum level registration, she has different level registrations, you get a picture with Dr. Price. They have a professional photographer who's going to be there. Let us just say that Apostle Dwan is an accomplished journalist. She's an award-winning journalist. She's not just somebody with great media ideas. She has credentials behind her name in the area of media and production, and she is making this a production for this book. So we are excited about it, getting the book to press, making it happen, going to the Global Prophetic Institute as part of her ministry name, the worship place she has down there in Jacksonville, Florida. We are all excited about this event. I know our team from Florida, everybody who can get there is trying to get there as well. And so we're just fired up at what God is doing because it is time for Before the Garden, and it's a wonderful sign in the earth for me especially, and I know for you, Dr. Price, to see somebody pick this up unsolicited. This is nothing you even asked for. She said, this is what we need to do to get this out here. And I know that she is just the beginning of people picking up the torch saying, you know what, Dr. Price, it is time to get this out there into the wider body of Christ. There is such great expectation. I hear from her team on a regular basis the expectation of you being there, Dr. Price, bringing forth the word as well as the release of the book is just very exciting.
And this is her prophetic convocation, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm excited about that.
And ordination.
And now, you know, now, Ashley, you know, this couldn't be a greater hot button for me because I
yes.
love working with prophets. I love being part of ordination. We ordained a near prophet this June at our event, and a powerful man of God that you're going to be hearing from a lot more in the future, very accomplished minister. And so I'm looking forward to that as well. Can you imagine to get to be a part of and speak into the ordination of the prophets that are coming out to do what she wants to do? My God, it just can't get any better than that. So I'm excited. Listen, if you're in the Florida area, if you got some frequent flyer miles or whatever you have, join us there. I want you to come to my party. I think it's going to be great. So I'm giving you a personal invitation. Come. Get your picture with me, get your book signed, and believe me, I don't just say, well, put my name. I speak to you in your book because I want you to look at it on the way home and remember our encounter. I want you to look at it years later and remember what God said to you in that book. So I'm inviting you personally to my book launch party. It's going to be a blast. I thank God for this apostle, amazing woman of God, and no one more accomplished to do it. You said something, Ashley, that I would love to tap into, and that is when God is ready, nobody can stand in the way. And I would say that somebody on the line today or someone who is going to hear this call later on, I want to give you this word from the Lord. When God is ready, no one can stand in the way. You can have 5, 10, 20, in my case, 30 years of opposition. I've had over 30 years of opposition. Moses beat me out by 10, so I don't know. I guess I'm going to behave myself. But 30 years, 40 years of opposition, but when God gets ready, nothing can stand in the way. And he proves his sovereignty because he taps his body for whoever and wherever it is for what he wants. And the people who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. A lot of times we hear that passage, Ashley, and we kind of go along with, okay, we'll be strong and do great exploits. Hallelujah. That means that I'm going to cast out devils. I'm going to raise the dead. I'm going to heal the sick. People are going to get blind eyes. Limbs are going to grow. Those are great, but that's not the only exploits that God does. God has other things that he does around the clock, dealing with human bodies and restoring human bodies. Come on, this guy made one couple and has not gone back to remake another one since, and it's still moving on. So what other exploits is he talking about, or will he be talking about? His exploits include making things happen in the earth, converting nations, establishing his son's glory, bringing the church in. I mean, a great exploit was getting Jesus to the planet and getting the church on earth. That was a mighty exploit. So God has exploits that he needs you to be a part of. Begin to pray as you head toward the end of this year about how to partner with God in his exploits and to know what your part of his exploits is. Because God needs you to think bigger than conferences where everybody is prophesied to and tapped on the head and flinging oil. Those are the elementary things. God has some powerful things that he's put in some powerful people. Many of you are listening to my voice today on this show. Go and say, God, I know that you have great exploits that you have planned for every generation and everyone in the generation. But now, what is my part? And so I just wanted to say that this woman has no idea that she is part of a 30-year breakthrough. Can you imagine some God waking up and saying, okay, Moses, you're it, and then telling Aaron, oh, by the way, you're going to help him do it and marry him and goes on? I mean, she's part of that. All of her experience and everything has made that happen. And there are millions of you out there like that waiting for God to give you your exploit assignment. Millions of you. And when you're an apostle and a prophet, it's very important. You realize that Nehemiah was sent for an exploit. The woman's the exploit. I need to get this wall up, okay? I need to get the temple up, says Ezra. The two of them together raised up for such a time. Cyrus, part of God's exploit. I want to go back home. I mean, essentially, God just said, I already know when I want to go back home. And when I get ready to go back home, I'm going to raise up a king called Cyrus. So I just wanted to make that as a as just a little exhortation to you. Find your exploit, and your purpose will show up in that envelope, because your exploit, your purpose is enveloped around that. So the end thing that God put you on the planet to do, I don't know who you are, but this is ringing in your soul. God is saying to you, now this is the Holy Spirit stepping up. He's saying to you, I realize that what I gave you to do may not look like everyone else. It may not be commonplace. If, as a matter of fact, an exploit is not commonplace, you know? And so God is looking for you to do some unusual things. There are people that God raises up to fight off his enemy because you're strong enough and you're undaunted by trials and you're not easily intimidated, and God always taps you for exploits. You are tired. You feel like that's not it. I don't want to wrestle. I don't want to fight with this thing any longer, but that's who you are. You are God's exploit one. God uses you to carry things out that others can't do, or to enable him to bring things to fruition that have been held back and resisted and forestalled for ages. You are that one. You are strong for a reason. You're mighty for a reason. You may have those days. You're in your room. You're collapsing. I'm looking at you in the spirit. God is taking over me right now. Prophetically, I've got to get you guys back in the game. And so God is taking over me. So I'm going to tell you, you are the explorer. You're in your room, and I'm tired, God. The last person I helped, they didn't say thank you. The last person I helped, they put me out. But you know what? When you put yourself on God's team and realize that the people are simply attacked, where you are is a task. See, exploiters get tasked. And so God often tasks you with things that no one else can get done, and things that other people have passed on and passed on and passed on, and you are in that task. Do you know that when he taps you for those tasks, he's not only doing it because you're available. He's doing it because he has a track record with you. You have a historical record of pulling yourself up out of depression, out of the doldrums, out of failure, out of defeat, and getting back in the game to do this for this man, because your passion for him and your love for him is so great and it's so intense and so fervent, you cannot say no. God has people that he can rely on who cannot tell him no. And if they do and realize their error, they're quick to repent, change direction, and do what he needs. I want to tell you something about this. Whoever you are, Stop whining about who misunderstood your task and celebrate that God got something done through you. Stop, make your testimony no longer who abused you, but how God got it done in spite of what the enemy used people do to do against him. I need you to flip that testimony, says the Holy Ghost. I need you to get to a place that you recognize that you and I are a team. We are a force. God comes to you because you deliver. And you should be excited. Sometimes we get so caught up on in God delivering us and delivering people, you don't realize he used you because you deliver for him. There are people that you don't know about. They don't have big names, et cetera, et cetera. Although some of them have. But you deliver for God. When God has those little tasks and those little trips and those little missions and assignments and things that he needs to accomplish, he can come to you because you are on his exploit staff, on his exploit team. And God says, stop that whining. Quit that. I was pleased with what you did. You got something done I needed. You advanced a purpose that I've been working on. You saw to it. You fended off my enemy. You brought home what I needed, and I need you to celebrate that. Sometimes I want to say to you, when it turns out ugly and then you don't get a harvest, you think God's unjust. No, you bind your harvest by misunderstanding the root it was taken, because the root it was going to take was God's celebration, not your devastation. And I hear God saying, I know I'm changing things. I need you to hear me, because God is speaking to somebody right now. Get up. Wash your face. Take off your little grave cloth. Take off your little sackcloth and ashes. Clear up, gear up, and get ready to get back in the race. You are special to this man. That's why he chose you. And you were special. You were so special to this man that the enemy fought you brutally because they knew you were delivered. And I would say to you that some of you out there have done great exploits, and like Elijah, it winded you. It was huge. And it may not have been huge in the world, but it was huge for you. It came at a time that you were, you know, totally unsure you could finish it. And you felt ill-equipped. But you got up and you did it, and you gained strength and you gained momentum and you forced and you pushed and you brought that thing home for God. And then what is it you remember? You remember that Jezebel came back mad. That's what you remember. And that's the testimony. Yeah, but you know the enemy fought. Well, you know the enemy did. But you don't remember that you pulled down a kingdom that was standing in his way. You realize that I sit there and I listen to people preach Elijah and that Mount Carmel thing all the time. And I thought, boy, if we ever wrapped our head around the mind of a king, especially the King of Kings, if we ever wrapped our head around the joy that God felt, and the enthusiasm that God had when he did that. You think that Elijah, God would have obeyed Elijah and did all of that if Elijah wasn't in his will? God ignores our exploits all the time. We don't want to get involved. He just says, well, y'all have at it. You know, if you need me, I'll be there when it's time to put you back together, but I'm not in there because that doesn't serve my purpose. I like the way that story goes, and some of you all have had a Mount Carmel moment, and you're crying about Jezebel instead of saying, but God, did we pull it off? Lord, did we make it happen? Lord, did we do? Are you kidding me? People are upset. I mean, they mock this guy, and they criticize him for being tired. This guy did a massive feat, and all of the faith that he ever built up, all of the spiritual power, all of the supernatural push, the dunamis that he had in him going at that time, went into delivering God's people from an entire stronghold institution. And we laugh, he was tired. He should have been tired. God ought to have given him a rest. God knew it, that thing emptied him out. And some of you are like that. God made you do something so huge and so powerful, it emptied you out. You had to go and rest. You needed to be fed. You wouldn't even feed yourself. You just laid out all expended, you know, totally fatigued. And God just sent people to nurse you back to life. And he sent ravens. And he sent you food. And he sent you medicine, and he sent you consolation. He sent somebody to watch the house and watch the kids and watch the, you know, help you keep, you know, your bills going. But because you expended a lot. But the difference between you and Elijah is that you don't want to go again, and Elijah got up and went again. And he went with a clear path. Had he not done it, a lot of what God wanted to happen couldn't have taken place. But because of Mount Carmel, God had a clear path for a long time. He had a clearer way. His prophets were safe. His people were no longer being mutilated and destroyed and abused. His institution can worship. Folks can hear him speaking. He could begin to separate the wheat from the chaff. He could begin to discern the diviners from the prophesiers, and on and on and on. A lot, that thing, when we do it, I love to do a think tank with that moment, because that is powerful, what he did and how God did it was so cool. If you read that thing, the setup was so strategic. It's just amazing. And God finished everything he wanted to finish with that man, but it took everything out of him to do it. And some of you are laid out right now because it took everything out of you to do it. Some of you, it took everything out of you to help your pastor get that new church. Some of you, it took everything out of you to help them get that school built, to help them raise money for this venture or that venture. It took everything out of you to just answer the call of God. It took everything out of you to build that company, whatever it was, and you're exhausted and you expended it, and you're struggling with the guilt of feeling fatigued and the disappointment that it didn't bring you what you thought it would, because you didn't look at God's side of the project. And God tasks you with something that only one who is accustomed to great exploits could do. God chose you because from the time he began using you and engaging you in his business and in his projects and ventures, you always delivered. And he built you, and he built you, and he continued to build you until you got to a point that you were formidable enough for the reason that he put you on the planet. You think about Cyrus. When you read Cyrus's story and you get, you know, from the historical point, not just the biblical excerpts that serve the Lord's purpose. When you read his story, you realize that God made him a warrior. He was built that way. And God built the confidence for him to become the world power he was over a year, stepping stone, stepping stone, stepping stone. And a lot of you have numerous stepping stones that got you ready for the moment that God said, but this is the exploit I want you to do. And he built you for it. He built Moses for the exploits that he did. He built Daniel for the exploits that he did. And so even some of you who are waiting to be used by God, you want to jump out there in those big things like you're not going to get slapped back. But guess what? God is building you to be one of those exploiters that he can rely on. You know, we were in prayer one morning, and you know, my daughter asked us, you know, because we pray as apostles and prophets in the morning, and she said, well, you know, what were you saying, exploits? I said, but X's pull out. And so God wants you to pull out the victory that he has hidden in his ploys. God has to have ploys against the enemy, and he does. And only people who understand how God is, those who definitely have to know him, to know how he moves, to understand his operations, to sense the timing and his seasons, and you have a lifetime of that. Some of you all have been folks, that you're the people that said, I don't care where I go, they're always going to put me out front. I don't care where I go, I'm always going to be the leader. Where I go, people are always going to put it on me. Yeah, why? Because that's who you are, and those were stepping stones for the thing that God was going to task you to do. Some of you all have not met your Moses moment, your Exodus exploit. Some of you haven't done it. Some of you all haven't met your Nebuchadnezzar exploit. Others have not met your Daniel exploit, your Deborah exploit, but you are still en route to the stepping stone, and you're looking for humans to understand what's divine. You're looking for the flesh to understand what's the things of heaven and the things of God. God said, put adjust your cap and begin to look at the things that he's given you to do as tasks that he already knows no one else can do, not only because he built you to do it. God built many people to do many things. So there's plenty of overlap. But there's a reason why he said many are called, but few chosen. But he chose the one who would see it through to the end. The chosen don't quit. The chosen don't defy him. The chosen don't lay down. The chosen don't put him off. The chosen can't do it, not because it's not in their will or not even because it doesn't come up in their hearts or in their mind. The chosen cannot deny God, and they cannot defy God because there's something between them that put that deep love. They are concerned about God's interest. Chosen people talk about God differently. Called people talk about God selfishly. Chosen people talk about God preemptively. He's got to win. He's got to have it. We've got to give him. He deserves his inheritance. He deserves his flower. He deserves this win. He deserves this building, this nation, this country, this king. There's two different things. And if you want to know which side you stand, just listen and recall the conversations that you always have about God. And when it's all said and done, the chosen, neither one's wrong. You know, we are who we are by the grace of God. But the chosen ones, the people that God keeps tapping for exploits, they have an entirely different mindset and perspective on him. And that's what God is looking for in those of you who missed the moment. You were supposed to celebrate with heaven, and you wanted to just celebrate on earth. There are some times that your earthly celebration is going to be delayed while God clears the way and sets up what he needs for heaven to enter the planet and to take charge and rule of different things. So I don't know who you are. I'm speaking to you now by the Spirit of God because this is what he told me to say. I had a whole other thing, but he wants you to know. I want you to get used to being used to do exploits. And sometimes you're going to get a lot of press for it and a lot of fame and a lot of prestige. And other times you're going to get a lot of grief. But either way, you are on task for the Holy Spirit. Jesus came knowing, I am coming to die. He never once said, well, I'm going to get my throne. It's going to be really great. No, I'm coming to die. We already planned it in heaven. I'm coming to die. I'm going to get on their nerves. I'm going to be an irritant to them. I'm going to be a threat, frustrate what they're doing, and they're going to get hot, and they're going to kill me. And that's part of the plan, because Jesus' exploit was not just the earth. It wasn't just the eyes, ears, nose, and toes that he healed and restored, but it was also him doing the one thing God wanted, which was getting his family out of hell. And the only way to get into hell is to die, because flesh can't go into the spirit realm. So Jesus understood that. You know, when you think about Moses, God sent Moses to do an exploit. Up until, but he tested him. First of all, he trained him. Then he trained him again. He trained him as in a nation and then trained him in the villages. You know, he had Egypt and Midian, two different political structures, two different governmental and rulership structures. He gave them all of that training. He said, now go get my people. You're going to pull them out of a nation. They're going to grow up in the wilderness, and then we're going to transition them back into a nation. So you're going to write the laws and governments for that. There are a lot of things beyond natural phenomena and biological miracles that go into exploits. And it would be great for those of you who say, well, you know, I'm nobody. Are you kidding? Some people are in school because you're part of a building. Some people are getting a program because you sat down and wrote it out. Those were exploits because they didn't exist, and if hell had anything to do with them, they wouldn't exist. But you defied the odds, and you defied God's adversary, and you delivered. And that is the word I keep hearing God say to you over and over again. But you delivered. Why can't you celebrate that you delivered for me? I tapped you for this thing. I relied on you. We teamed up. We worked together. We got it done. It doesn't matter. People don't know what happened between you and I. It does not matter. What matters is that we did it. We pulled it off. And that should be enough for you right now. So God said, great is your reward in heaven. There are a lot of things, and this is not just people in the church. This is the God's people, people of righteousness, people of truth, people who want the life of God instead of the death and doom of the devil in their world, in their society. You pulled it off, and God is saying to you, that's what he was saying to Elijah. He's saying, okay, you rested? You refreshed? All right. Now, it's time to get back in business. Now, you've had all these great exploits. And pretty much, God was letting them know, your time is winding down, but you did a great job. You did a great thing. I can now have an era of peace. I can now have an era where my priesthood can serve and prevail. I have an era where my doctrine can prevail and save and redeem. I've got an era of time. You created a dispensation for me to do some things that were for Saul, held up, perverted, and distorted. That's powerful stuff. And that is what God would say to you today who are listening. You pulled off something great. It doesn't make a difference that your pastor didn't get it. It doesn't make a difference that the elders were angry. God wasn't doing it for them. God was doing it for his purposes. And when you are on God's team, understand not everybody is going to see the work of his hand. Not everybody's going to even understand it. And oftentimes what you do is seminal, which means it's just a little seed form, and it doesn't grow up until later. You know, I think about that all the time. When I think about my mom, when 40 years ago, my mom was you know, she was tapped for a monumental position in her job, you know, and she was tapped to do the, to help set up one of the first locations that gave you the little yellow stickles on your envelopes. My mom was part of that to help set up that very first facility. It was way over her head. It was way out of her scope and all of that. And it was hard. She suffered. I remember how hard it was for her to do that. It wasn't about church, whatever, but we were still, you know, still saved and all of that. But you know what? Every time I look at a yellow envelope, I remember my mom was part of that. It was not so ceremonious. You know, she had bitter battles. But she delivered something that's still moving. What about you? What if what that little thing or that hardship that you're ready to abandon and walk away from, even though you know God told you to do it, what if it means that 20, 30, 40 years down the line, it's still living? And some of you all need that push. So, yeah, sometimes you're going to do exploits and it's going to be unceremonious. It's going to be uncelebrated. People are probably going to miss that you even did it. You're going to do something really great. They're going to get an award to somebody else who just stole your thunder and stole your thought. That's all they get. They get nothing else but what they stole. You know, there are a lot, you know, and you look at it and you say, but I did that. And don't worry about it. It will be fair. For over 30 years, more people have stolen my work than I have dollars in the bank. But you know what? There is a day coming. And my work is still out there doing what it does. So it's not always going to turn out right. And that's the misdirection that we've given you. We want, well, if it doesn't turn out right, it wasn't God. Are you kidding? God did Eden. It didn't turn out right. That wasn't what he was going after. He wasn't going after having to judge a whole planet, but he understood the possibility existed. And they had a plan B. You know, God, when he turned around, he wasn't thinking about the flood, having to flood people to wipe out the whole thing. None of that was it. But the ultimate goal was to get his seed in the earth and his spirit in flesh and people converted to his seed that would populate his eternal kingdom. And he never lost sight of that eternal purpose, the eternal objective. Sometimes, even in your job, somebody there is trying to quit a job because you're not getting the respect you think you should have, et cetera, and God won't let you quit, and you're wrestling with him. You want to quit because you're tired of the pain and you're tired of the frustration, and the Holy Spirit said, be strong. If you faint in the day of adversity, it's because your strength is weak. Be strong in the Lord. Because God knows what he's doing, and he has a greater reward for you and a greater celebration for you than you can even dream. And that's really what I feel God is saying to you today. Not only don't quit, but understand that you need to finish for it to become a matter of the eternal record, not the temporal record, but the eternal record that you delivered for the Almighty, that you are a get-it-done person, that you have become God's go-to champion. That's what he's looking for today. Champions who will get it done, go-to champions, people who will deliver, and they're undaunted by resistance because they go into the thing knowing that they are fighting something that's going to fight back, but it should be removed. It should be replaced. It should be established. It should be built. It should be upgraded. That's what God is saying to you today. And the Holy Spirit wants you to know. It's fight back, stand firm, and do what God tasked you to do, Ty. And surely you will be rewarded. And we were talking about, I don't think about a heavenly reward. I don't know why. You're only going to be on the planet 90 years. You're going to be in heaven 90 million or more. So which one do you want to remember you the longest? I hear God saying, be strong, get to know me, and understand you did not miss me because I still achieved what I needed. Sometimes what God sent you to do, sends us to do, is just to set up what he's planning for way down the line in the future. But you are marked, credited with that. So continue to deliver for the Lord. Hallelujah. Prophet?
My. I tell you, I am talking to myself today about this. Wow. I dare say you probably addressed half of the issues that are on the line right now. With that exhortation and correction, tweaking, I will say we just had an alignment. You know, you go and you're just a little twisted. You have to go to that chiropractor to get realigned. And I think we have had a prophetic alignment here, getting us back in line, straightening some things out, and kind of like shake it off, you know, shake it off. This is some things we make a little too deep and some things we don't make deep enough. But I tell you, I was talking, Dr. Price, when you said there are people God taps for his exploits, and we have become so fixated on the trial. Like you said, you pulled down a whole kingdom of darkness, and all you can think about is Jezebel coming after you and not all of the things that you actually accomplished because it didn't have that sprinkles on top and a party waiting for us on the other side of the finish line saying, congratulations, you won. So that was powerful, and I mean, that's where you just got wound up. You're people that God can rely on. The difference, okay? You got wound up. I got wound up. The difference between those who are chosen and called in the aspect of the chosen don't quit or defy him because they're concerned about his interest and not just about the payoff for them. And that explains so many things. Why when people tell you you're crazy, you're like, but I just can't. I just can't stop it. I just can't stop. I just can't. It's not in me. I don't want to. And the trials are kicking up. And on one hand, you want all that nonsense to be over. But on the other hand, you don't want to let God down. I mean, you walk around thinking, but if I don't, then who will? And the reason this probably came to me is because 10 other people before me dropped the ball, didn't want to do it. People living in a mess and a hardship now because somebody said this is too much. And how long does it take for God to find someone in a generation who says it's not too much, even when it probably is? No, I can do a little bit more, God. I can go another year. I can build one more time. You know how we say when you can't just let it go for God. And so today just it reset my mind on some things. And I love how you said God wants you to pull out the victory in his ploy against his enemy. Because it's so sad. We don't think that God thinks things through before he sends us out there. It's kind of like, hey, I'm going to give you this prophecy from a random prophet or a prophet you trust, and I'm just going to work it out as you go along, and we'll see what happens. I mean, that's kind of how we feel, especially when the going gets tough against us. And so we don't want to acknowledge, but I have a plan. God is like, but I have a plan. Just trust the plan. Write it out. Endure to the end. Just endure to the end because it's the end. Just like Jesus, his whole journey, if he didn't go all the way to the end, to hell and back, then we would have said he missed God. We would have said Jesus missed God. Now, that would have been a story all by itself. But sometimes we just have to work through those as people and accepting, but God has a plan, which is why I'm loving the idea of before the garden, just the idea, because it shows that God always had a plan. Always, 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 no matter what it looked like. So I'm fired up about today's, whatever today was.
Well, I'm fired up too, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are as well. Let us know what you feel about today on Facebook. If you got any thoughts on it, we want to know. Maybe you are an exploiter who almost missed the boat, who almost misunderstood what God was doing, and you were about to go the wrong direction or a contrary direction. You know, Ashley, you said something that I think is so powerful, and that is, you know, a lot of things that you think shouldn't have been, what if you were the one to fix it? You know, I remember a minister saying to me once that they were complaining to God about a church that whose youngsters had just gone off, and when they were there, the kids didn't go off, and things were right, and they were there, but then they got angry because they didn't get celebrated. And when this person got angry for not being celebrated, the person left and abandoned the work. And so 10, 12 years later, you know, the kids, this one's in jail on drugs, blah, blah, blah. And the Holy Spirit burst in because they were just having a whole kind of, see, Lord, if they'd have treated me right, I would have stayed. And you know what God said? He said, but if you'd have stayed, would we have this conversation today? See, you abandoned your responsibility to me. You allowed the enemy to trigger your flesh for you to get mad with flesh so that these kids' destiny could be shipwrecked. And when the person told me, I thought, oh, my goodness, how many people can say, well, I just got mad because I didn't know how they like how they treated me. There are times that God wants you to stay in your church. There are some times that he won't let you leave because, well, he needs what you're doing. But if you're just sitting there idly suffering and grumbling, that's all that's a different thing. This comment is based on those. It's directed to you all who know that you're doing something and you are the unsung heroes in your congregation. And listen, the kingdom has a bunch of unsung heroes. We look at bad news, disgusting news, vile stuff on the TV every day while the world is full of unsung heroes who are making a difference. Those are the ones who are really holding the fort. And it's those unsung heroes that enable the ones that are celebrated to even get the attention, whether they're criminals or not. And so I will tell you, whoever you might be, you could get caught up in that, or you can get caught up in the day that Jesus hands out his crown and says, you know what, but you were there for me. I trusted you. Now, I know it was ugly, and I know it was this and that, but you were there for me. Here we look at Paul. Paul talking about light afflictions. Actually, the man has been shipwrecked, stoned, striped 39 times, thrice, stoned we don't know how many times. He has been betrayed, cheated, robbed, you named it, and the man got the nerve to call it all light afflictions. Now, Paul either has a real identity crisis or a real delusion, or was he not so astutely aware, keenly aware of the source of his issues and the reasons, the motive. See, a lot of times, some of you all, you have to hear God tell you what the motive is. The enemy wants to take out your neighborhood. The enemy has some kids that he wants to kill. Think about the three wise men and the magi that did not tell Herod where Jesus was. Why? They understood. Okay, well, y'all go and come back and tell me. You know, think about Joseph who suffered the humiliation of the gossip about his wife because beneath the scenes, he was tapped by God to do an exploit that no other man could have tolerated, let alone did. So sometimes, and I pray for you who are listening to us today, I pray for you to hear the real thing that's at risk, to hear the real threat. Because the threat is not your hurt feelings. The threat is not your ego. The threat is not your kids having a tantrum. Because whether you serve God or not, rebellious kids are going to rebel, and obedient kids are going to obey. I don't care what you tell me, because we have a whole lot of folk who are not in ministry. Kids were raised by drug addicts and all of those kinds of things, and they still were kids in their heart. They still turned out to be great adults. Why? Because it was what they were going to do. But I do know that when you obey God, he says he makes even your enemies to be at peace with you. So God is looking for people that he can tap, and he's looking for those that he has tapped in the past to stop whining and criticizing him for using them to accomplish something that would ripple throughout the annals of eternity. I'm excited about that. I promise you I'm excited about that. Ashley, I can't even tell you. But I'm so fired up in order to shift, I think I'm going to have a message. I mean, come on here. I'm going to have a message, have us have a little break for us to come back and take some calls.
All right. You are listening to the Paula Price Show, the one and only Paula Price Show here on blogtalkradio.com. We will be right back after these messages.
Are you a prophet or apostle? Is your desire to help God's ministers come into their true identity and calling? Would you like to make a supplemental income while still doing what you love most, serving God as his kingdom agent? Now PPM Global Resources offers an exciting employment opportunity for apostles and prophets. We want to employ you to do what God made you to do for him. We work in the industry of ministry and want to bring the industry to your ministry. Imagine getting paid a regular income for doing what you already do. think about doing more than prophesying or waiting for your next preaching opportunity to fulfill your calling. Now, PPM Global has created gainful employment positions for your mantle, just like pastors and teachers have enjoyed for ages. Sign up as an affiliate agent or independent sales consultant, and you'll be able to share PPM Global's unique ministry model with your associates and colleagues, and share the revenue PPM Global gains from your initiative. Or join PPM Global's team of advisors, coaches, and mentors, and take part in shaping the next generation of fivefold ministers for Jesus Christ. Wherever you sit, you'll enjoy the benefits of collaborating with PPM Global, including a means of increasing your contacts and income without increasing your workload, the opportunity to be a gainfully employed, bona fide apostle or prophet, the privilege of shifting the church back to apostolic and prophetic leadership, and the honor of placing God's people in their right purpose and destiny. Apply today, get trained, change lives, and earn more. PPM Global Resources. Explore the possibilities. Scandal, deception, secret affairs, misappropriation of funds, nepotism, promotion without training or experience. Sound like Hollywood or perhaps Wall Street? Unfortunately, this has become more and more commonplace in the body of Christ. As a result, many people have lost faith in their leaders and no longer trust those put in place to watch over their spiritual growth. It's time for God's ministers to take back the ground that has been lost and provide qualified, competent, verifiable leadership that His people can rely on. So what is the first step to making this a reality? The answer is ministerial credentialing. Credentialing attests to the qualifications, competence, or authority that a person has in a particular field. Diplomas, degrees, certifications, and licenses are all a part of credentialing. Though credentialing programs exist for pastors, teachers, and evangelists, there is very little available to properly credential apostles and prophets. Until now. Dr. Paula Price, New Era Apostleship Restitution Council, and Kingdom Embassy University present CLOCK, our credentialing program that stands for Certification, Licensure, Ordination, and Commissioning. Whichever is appropriate for your calling or area of Kingdom service, we have a program for you. Get trained and receive a certificate of completion or achievement, a license to perform or function in a ministry capacity, ordination to a designated ministry office, or commissioning to discharge an advanced professional ministry post. Take the first step today by going to www.ppmglobalresources.com and taking a ministry assessment questionnaire to find out where you fit and what kind of training you need. Be a part of the solution and make sure you are a leader that God and His people can rely on. Visit www.ppmglobalresources.com today.
I wanted to take a few minutes to tell you why you want to get this course. Yes, you want to know who you are. Yes, you want to know what God sent you to do. But it is not enough to know thyself. You need to know those that the Lord has assigned to work with you, to labor with you, to understand you, to hold up your hands, and to understand that they are not just volunteers helping out, but they are a fixtures. They are affixed to your commission. They are your fixtures. They're your pillars, your founders, your ground. They're your communicators, your extenders, whatever you want to call them, and it's all of that. You need someone to fit all of those capacities. And so I want you to consider using my brand new teaching, building your commission team, stage one, if you're an apostle or an apostolic minister, because it's all the same. But what distinguishes what this teaching does is not that we're telling people about their ministry. No, we're taking people who are already in ministry or who are predisposed to ministry and who are competent or show potential for competency. And we're telling them, you're assigned to not just help me preach the word or help me spread the word. You're assigned to help me establish something in the earth, build it from the ground up, or fortify it if it's already in existence, and expand it. You want a commission team is about perpetuity, not just performance. And that is what commission training is. So may I encourage you to go to my website and to click, I want this commission team. You can go to ppmglobalresources.com and say, I didn't understand it. Now I know. And it's going to give you a blueprint.
And then it's going to give you criteria, and it's going to give you standards, and it's going to give you protocols, but it's also going to give you some policies and procedures as well as practices. And all together, we come alongside you as you begin to identify those that God's called to help you do more than go on a mission. We want to help you identify those who are called to become fixtures of your apostleship commission, of your apostolic commission. Again, that's drpaulaprice.com or ppmglobalresources.com.
And we are back with the second half of our live broadcast today on the Paula Price Show with the one and only Dr. Paula Price, apostle, doctor, pastor, you know, all the titles you wear.
Oh, God is good. I got a quote, a message from one of my Facebookers, I like to call them that, said, wow, what a word, and it hit on bullseye. In prayer the other day, as the Lord was giving me instructions for something I didn't quite want to do, I told the Lord, you know I can't tell you no. If that word didn't reach anyone else, it sure encouraged me. Bless you, Dr. Price, and thank you for so willingly sharing that which the Lord gives you. Is that powerful, Ashley?
Oh, that's rich. That's rich. That's so good. So good and so true.
It really is, because sometimes we don't get it. Another one of my Facebookers, Shalon, says, you are talking about me concerning exploits. Thank you for speaking to my purpose. I received the word from the Lord. You know, sometimes the giants just need to have a clarion call, and giants are not called the same way everybody else is. Sometimes giants have to be called a little differently because they took on a lot more and they got hit, sometimes wounded, more severely. And so I'm grateful. I know I have some more exploiters out there as we continue with the show. And after, I need you to decide to be a part of what we're doing. You know, Ashley, I even had a couple of Twitters that I thought was great. And the reason I like the Twitter people, because, you know, they're right to the point. I love that. And I just thought that a couple of those, Ashley, would just let everyone know it's important, guys, that we are not punked out of destiny, you know, because it's so easy to be. So easy to be punked out of your destiny. You look around and you're like, I remember I used to do this for God. I used to do that for God. I remember that this used to happen and that used to happen. And, oh, I remember. And all of a sudden, you realize you aren't willing to do anything for God, not because you have fallen out of love with him, but simply because you lost your way. And I like right now, I just want to thank Brandon Robinson. And he said, amen from South Africa. Now, isn't that good, Ashley?
Wow.
And you know, our beloved Antoinette, you know she got us covered. We probably got to put on a news team in a little bit.
Yeah, sounds good.
We had a whole lot of people that responded. But listen, let us know, not just for me. Yes, I love the encouragement. But for those of you, when you post, you let other people know they're hearing from God, too, and that God is speaking to others, and that other people are living their experience and fighting through the same thing. That's why we need this constant flow of exhorting one another. You know, I think Facebook and Twitter and all of that social media, they're great for those things. So if you've got a word to let someone know, yeah, that was me. I appreciated those two people messaging me on Facebook to say that. I had to read it because it's too powerful. Okay, so Ashley, I think I'm almost winding down. I'm not sure. But anyway, I am ready to take a call. So who do we have on the line today?
Well, they are lining up for you today, Dr. Price. We have first on the line Jamila from Tennessee. Jamila needs prayer, although some of these things may have been resolved through your exhortation, but she is asking for prayer for clear direction and for God to reveal to her the personal issues that she needs to handle so she can accomplish his will in her life. Jamila, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Good afternoon, you all. I'm so excited to join the call.
Well, Jamila, we're great to have you on the call. Did you appreciate our exhortation? Are you an exploiter?
Yes, I am an exploiter. Yes, I am.
So you're ready to do great things for God?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, you almost, that's a little hesitant, so we probably need to work through the call and see if we can ask that question again later. See if we can get a stronger response. What's up with you? What do you need us to pray about?
Just, the exploit that hit me on the head, everything you talked about, it was just wow and amazing. I'm like, okay, God, okay. I just want to get clarity and direction for where I am right now. It just seemed like I'm kind of stagnant and I'm not moving at all. So my confidence in doing his will is kind of low right now. I'm not really at a constant fellowship right now. So to me, it's like a big transition trying to find out where I need to go in my career. You hit it on the head when you talked about the job, because I've been at a labor-intensive job, something that I never thought I would do. But I've continued to try to push through it. I've been there for almost 2 years, and so I just always say, hey, this is a character building position and going forth from there.
Well, now, when we talk to the career, has God told you to leave the job, or did he tell you wait and be paid, be filled?
I want to say he said wait, but sometimes I'm like, okay, did I really hear him right?
Well, the funny thing about God, when the first word that he gives you is the word that you must record, because after that, the mind, which is at enmity with him, the emotions, which are frustrated and suffering, your psyche that's being pummeled, it'll begin to try to edit that first word, which is why whenever you get a first response from the Lord on a matter, write it, date it, and seal it, because that's the anchor. That's the place you have to keep going back to, even when it gets crazy. And until he changes that first word, you're going to have to ride out the storm.
Well, I'm ready for the ride.
Yeah, I know it sounds like it. Now I'm going to ask you, in terms of your church, you said I'm not in a regular fellowship right now. So I'm going to ask you, what did you abandon or drop the ball on that caused you to be in this place where God is not picking up and using you any further?
Well, the last fellowship I was with, I actually moved across to a different part of town. I just felt like I was getting so many ideas and just so creative that I wasn't being used, or the leadership couldn't see the potential in me, because I really had a hunger, really wanted to move forth in God, but I really never had a firm foundation as far as a fellowship. I grew up and my dad was a minister, so we went to a lot of different churches. So just to get in a fellowship and to work in that fellowship and to grow there, that was my biggest desire. But it seemed like at that fellowship they were not ready for that.
Okay. Now, you know, Jamila, I sure hope you love me, daughter, because I'm going to go there and ask you probably a really hard question. Are you all braced? You're sitting down? So you said I had a lot of ideas, creativity, and they weren't ready to use you, so they didn't use you then. So, but you start this call by saying you're stagnated and God's not using you. So that tells me that maybe they were right.
Okay.
Now, here's why I want you to think this through. And trust me on this word. Sometimes the Lord, and I think in your case this is true, but sometimes the Lord wants to see if you'll just do what he needs before what you need takes precedence. So I wanted to know, what I'd love to hear you talk about is what that fellowship needed and what those leaders needed. Because it's when people's needs are satisfied, then they're willing to be open and receptive to something else because they're contented. Is it possible, if you don't mind me asking, that they had needs that you didn't hear either?
I'm sorry, repeat that for me.
Sure. Is it possible that they had needs that you didn't hear either?
Is it possible that they had needs that they did not hear either?
That you did not hear.
That's a good one. I'm not even sure how to answer that question. Oh, that is powerful. I'm blown away.
You got the point. You have the point. Is that right?
Yes.
Because the point is, people who often leave their ministries because they weren't being used can never tell you what that ministry needed that they didn't hear. Because it's possible that we miss what the leader needs because you went there with them as the leader. So they're thinking God sent you to help them, and you're going there thinking that God sent you for them to give you an opportunity. And a lot of people join ministries for their own personal gift debuts. I want to debut my gift. And so I would like you to consider, even as we pray, I would like you to consider that they may have been voicing needs that just completely blew past your ear. You did not even hear because you were determined to be used. Now, I'm saying this for a second reason. And again, I do know that you're a woman of truth. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking, and you wouldn't have given me the response that you just did. So you are a woman of truth. You believe in honesty and integrity. So I'm going to say this. It is not uncommon for PKs and ministers' children to be right where you are. They've done a lot. They go to a ministry with a whole lot. They're filled with experiences. And if they don't go bitter, then they go pushy.
I'm not pushing.
So, well, yeah, but you may not realize that that's what it is. And I'm saying this not
for
the you may not realize it because you went there with ideas and creativity and things to help. And I'll tell you this. I don't know the situation, but it's also been my experience that when you're raised like that, believe me, I got a gifted daughter right now who, fortunately, she's with me. But if she went someplace else, she'd be way, way over, you know, overqualified. So if she didn't get accepted by something large, then she'd want to do something small if she decided to go with the ministry. Now, I say that to you because when you're raised with having under a minister, you are trained young. You're like a little Samuel, you know. You get to do everything. It's all you know. You're washed in it. You're baptized in it, et cetera. And that is great, except that many times it makes you overqualified for a smaller ministry, and it makes you overlooked in a big one.
So
the frustration is, where do I belong? I'm overqualified because this new ministry is like, we're just trying to get people to stay in church. We're trying to get them to say the name of Jesus. Can I get them to pay tithes? Can I get them to stand up and praise and worship? Can I get them to come to church on time? They're at core stuff, but you're going at your peak, and they're at their base.
Oh, that's exactly what I was feeling.
Right. So then you needed to come down from Sinai and get down in the valley. They had needs they would have grown up to your potential, you know, because small ministries have to grow up to your experience and your expertise, unless if you're going to stay with them. But you can't go there telling somebody, I need you to just, you know, be ready to take on the city, and they're trying to take on the Bible study. Can I just get the people to open the Bible and say, in the beginning, God? So what God sent you there for, you misunderstood, and it happened. And you were driven by your experience and your knowledge. And it kind of made you a little bit closed-minded and unobservant of what they were really struggling. So even though you were skilled, talented, and experienced, what God needed you to be, too, was a little more evaluated and a little more discerning. He needed you to discern where they were and remember where your family started. And so you have an opportunity to repair that situation, which I think God wants you to do. and to be a servant. You know, God said if you're going to be ruler of all, you must be a servant of all. And sometimes being a servant means putting your interests and your opportunities on hold for the time that they could grow up to it. Because truth be told, if they took you at the way where you were and they used what you did, it would have been your ministry. You would have been calling the shots. They would have been struggling with the fallout. And in the end, you still wouldn't have had an opportunity to showcase the best of you. What were you saying? I can't hear you.
Oh, I was going to say it's amazing because they're actually growing into that now, because I keep up with them on social media and other avenues, and they're actually a family church, so they had to deal, you know, with a lot of issues and everything when it comes to family and, like you said, being a small congregation, but they're really moving forward. And I really did and still do love to fellowship with them. So that was something definitely that's been on my mind to go back.
Yeah, well, I think you should. And now you realize that if you'd have just given them room to grow. And I say this to a lot of giants, you know, people who come from huge ministries and you go into a ready-made work, it is difficult for you to fathom what it takes to bring something from, you know, a couple stepping out just trying to obey the Lord to what you left. And I would give this word to everybody who's on the line. If God is sending you someplace and you're frustrated and you're criticizing, I want to say to you, sometimes you have to allow new ministries to grow up to your expertise, to grow up to your experience. Sometimes that's all it takes. And while you're letting them grow like a baby, go ahead and change your diaper now and then. Go ahead and feed and babysit and teach them, or, you know, partner with them in a game or two, because they have to grow up into it. And ministries take a long time to grow, because in the beginning, they fight through unbelief, resistance, bullying, and intimidation. First of all, folks just don't believe they ought to be there. The people that they're probably mad, they probably have a ton of prayers in the spirit that they have to kind of pull down and weed through. And then you have all of the looky-loos, the folks who come because they didn't get an opportunity over there, and so they're being bullied by the people who come. Well, I know this, and y'all ain't got this, and all of those kind of things. So they got to deal with that. They have to deal with babes off the street who just want to be healed and clean. They don't want to pay tithes. They don't want to support the work. They just want to pull, and tank. That's, you know, somebody ought to sit down one day and write the story of a small ministry without contempt. You know, a person who doesn't despise the day of small beginning, because you can give better wisdom and counsel if you realize what they take and what they live through. You know, and so when by the time you get big, you got so many buffers between yourself and the leadership that 2/3 of what the pew doesn't like never gets to the top anyway. Nobody really cares, which is why they migrate out. So in your case, I would say that God is letting you know by what you're seeing on social media that you were right. You were just a little ahead of your time.
Amen.
So I'm going to pray for you to be able to get back, and maybe even if it's no more than clear the air, because God obviously stopped for a reason. And if he stopped, then he was trying to get your attention. He wanted you to rethink some things. Because and a lot of times when God stops using us, that's because he has a location for our gift, for our ministries. And if we're not in that location, it takes him a long time to set up an alternative, because he wasn't trying to do the alternative. He was trying to do the ideal. So I'm going to pray. Do you have another question before I pray?
Oh, no, just pray for my transportation and my finances and continued motivation.
Amen. Father God, I thank you for Jamila. First of all, I thank you for her spirit. She stretches. Just a special woman of God. And God, I thank you that you have kept her this long, raised her up in your kingdom, and brought her into your service for such a time as this. I'm asking, God, that as she goes and clears the air and restores and resettles with your leaders, God, that you begin to awaken her call and begin to direct her path and use her as you see fit. And as you do, Lord, I'm asking that then the harvest of her obedience, the rewards and compensation of her yieldedness, God, begins to manifest in her material needs being met on all fronts. And I mean all fronts, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that when she goes back, that the leaders are not haughty in their pain, because often that's the case, that they don't receive her return and they don't receive her apologies and her and forgive her with the full heart. I'm asking that you would cause them to receive her as a daughter and give them the same word that Paul gave about Onesimus, that he would, that they would receive her heartily as one who has come to awareness of what was really taking place during those times. And I bless you, Father, for doing it in Jesus' omnipotent name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Ooh. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome. God bless you, daughter.
You too.
Bye-bye. Prophet Ashley?
Well, I dare say you are on a roll today, Dr. Price.
Ooh, honey, we just want to give all the glory to the King, because, you know, he's a sugar pie. But there are times, Ashley, that we sometimes we don't realize what happened, because nobody's, you know, a lot of people are not trying to upset God's work. We're just trying to find our way in God. And I told God every day, I said, God, help me find my way and help others find their way, or better yet, find his way in our lives. So I'm excited. What you got?
Amen. Me too. All right. Next on the line is Gwen from Virginia. She is calling. Well, first she has a comment about your exhortation earlier and how her mind was blown. And then she would like prayer for clarity and the next step in her life. Gwen from Virginia, welcome to the Paul Price Show.
Thank you, Ashley. Hello, Dr. Price.
Hi. How are you, Gwen? Glad to hear your voice from Virginia.
I'm doing better today. Thank you. Yes. Oh, your exhortation was so good for me today. The Lord had had me reading Elijah. I had this book on Elijah, and the last 2 weeks I was really into, you know, into the steps of Elijah. And to hear your exhortation today, it was just like, oh, that's why. Okay, I understand, you know. And the Lord also this morning, the Holy Spirit woke me up early, and in prayer he said, call Dr. Price today. And I'm like, oh, okay, I talked to you in January. And this is just, okay, I have to calm down because I get so excited. I can't think. But, yes, I like prayer for clarity and direction. When I talked to you in January, you were saying that the Lord was trying to lead me and guide me, and I frustrate his hand and I should, you know, follow him and things like that. So I've been trying to do that. You know, I've been really, really frustrated. I can't say with my church, but maybe just within myself, because things weren't moving the way I thought they should move. Not they should move, but that I should move. Not within the church, but within myself.
But, you know, when you were talking about frustrated, what I saw was God with your two hands digging into something. It seems that the Lord wants you to dig into something that you're a little reluctant to take on. Do you know what that is?
No, that I'm reluctant to take on.
Yeah, I mean, and when I say reluctant, that doesn't mean that you want to disobey God. Sometimes it's something that you don't feel it's you. Sometimes it's something that you feel like it's too good for you to do. Other times you feel like it's something that you've already done and you don't want to retrace those paths. So that's why I'm asking you. But I know that either you're going to be offered something that you ordinarily wouldn't do, or either you've done it and you've said no, and God needs you to say yes. So what did you do with your church before? Because we talked about your church, but remind me, what did you do with your church before?
My church is new, and, I mean, you know, in the last 3 years, I've been there for 3 years. And I haven't really been in leadership or anything. He's just now training, giving us leadership training right now. You know, we just started that. And I'm just, you know, basically an usher.
So, and is that bothering you?
No, I love that. I love that. But you know what the bottom line is? It's really becoming a prophet. I think I'm reluctant with that.
Right.
Because I know that's what I've been called to do. And I was reluctant. But then, you know, it's like, okay, Lord, I'll do what you say do. And I wanted to go to a school of the prophets, but my pastor felt like I wasn't ready for that yet, that I needed to sit at the feet of Jesus longer, in his words.
Well, what does he think that, did you ask him where he thought you were unready?
No, I didn't. I didn't ask him what part, you know, where did he, okay, he thinks I'm not ready because and he knows and I know that I need to grow in the word.
Okay. See, now that's a different story. So to sit at the feet of Jesus means he's telling you, you don't know the Bible enough yet. You don't have enough biblical knowledge to understand even how to filter that. And so did he put you in a training? Are you in Bible school? I'm sure Bible study. But are you in Bible study in the church now?
Yes. Well, we have a regular Bible study. What happened to me, I don't know if you remember all this, but I was in going to a Christian college. I didn't have all the money. They said I no longer qualified for a grant. So that was just in January, so I didn't go to the last semester. And just 2 days ago, you know, I heard this whisper that said, look up Bible college. So I know I need to get – I'm going to be getting back into it.
Okay.
But
so
other than that, that's it.
So what you're really feeling is frustrated and concerned that you're not ministering to your destiny.
Yes.
Okay. And your pastor is saying just learn a little bit more so that you can wrap your head around the Spirit of Christ.
Yes.
So you just need patience.
Okay.
You know, unless you feel your pastor is wrong, and my instincts are telling me that he isn't wrong.
No, I know he isn't wrong about that. I do need more biblical knowledge. I do.
Okay. So then let him be your shepherd. And if you feel that God assigned you to this pastor, then you need to do otherwise while you're there. If you're not going to trust the pastor's judgment or you're going to balk at or be suspicious about his counsel and his wisdom, then that's not the place for you because God sends us to shepherds who will cause us to rest and feed in peace. So I would suggest that you allow him, if you feel like you need more insight, ask him the particular areas he thinks you need to be strengthened. Ask him what he recommends, because he is your pastor.
Okay.
Ask him what he recommends, and then ask him what he has in place to help you do that.
Okay.
All right? Sometimes when we are, especially under, you know, the kind of charismatic sort of evangelical mindset, we feel like, okay, the pastor is like our spiritual parent, so we can't ask questions to get clarity. I don't mind that my sheep need clarity. I would rather they have clarity than confusion, and I don't want them to assume or misassume what I'm saying or doing. So we let them know. So I think that maybe you need to ask your pastor just to give you more clarity so that you know what you're working on. And ask him when he thinks you might be ready. What will it take? Because if you're going to be ready in 3 years, then you can wait 3 years. Well, now, at least you know.
Okay.
Now, 3 years down the road, he says no. Now, that's a different story. But let's get there.
Okay.
All right? So you're going to go and revisit your pastor and get some answers.
Okay.
All right. God, thank you so much for Gwen. Thank you, Lord, for her love for you and her commitment and her eagerness. And, God, I thank you that as she goes to revisit her pastor, that you give him the grace to answer what she needs and to work a plan out for her that would give her peace so that she can follow your footsteps, stand in his word, God, and be prepared to equip herself for your eventual and ultimate call in her life. I thank you for giving a favor in that church. I thank you for continuing to visit her and also continuing to put in her hands what you need her to read and hear and learn, but give her patience, God, to know that it takes time and that you must build it in her before you can establish it outside of her. And I bless you, Holy Father, for doing it in Jesus' omnipotent name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Price.
You're very, very welcome. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Prophet?
All right. Got the saints checking in. Good to hear from Gwen. Next, we have Takesha, and she's calling from Texas. She's been trying to get through for a couple weeks, though. She is happy to get through to you today. She would like prayer over her house in Georgia. to Keisha from Texas. Welcome to the show.
Hello, good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, Dr. Price. I'm so happy to be talking to you again.
Me too. I thought your name sounded familiar in Texas. So what are we doing with Georgia, though?
Well, first, if I could just speak on your exhortation, because that was just like, I felt like I just got a tongue lashing from God through you, for real, for real. So I just, that just, oh, my God, I can't even, I'm so excited because I was at a place where I wasn't sure of, like, what I should be doing, and then I wasn't sure if I should go back into my business or not, but then God gave me the word that it was okay to go back into my business. And then I know I'm called to the prophetic, to the marketplace. And so I've just been praying and praying and, like, chasing after God to kind of figure out, like you were saying, like, what is your purpose? What is your exploit? So I've been praying and praying and chasing after him to just give me revelation on how those two are going to come together, because I know I'm called to both, and I love both or whatever. So the word that you gave was like confirmation. It was like that extra push that I needed, that extra, like, get up and go, keep praying about it, keep asking him for revelation, because he will reveal. So I was just really just like, oh, I was just like overwhelmed and blown away by your word this morning. So thank you so much for that.
You're very welcome. So now, did you hear from the exhortation the direction you should start out on for your business, or is the business already in existence and you are now trying to figure out how the prophetic fits into it?
Well, I was already doing this business when I lived in Georgia for almost 3 years. And I had kind of, because I went through a job experience, my husband had lost his job, or whatever, I had, like, just kind of put it on the back burner, although I love doing what I do. I really have a passion for it. And when I moved to Texas, I was like, I don't know, because things didn't go so well, I was, like, I guess second-guessing myself, and I was like, I don't know if this is what I'm supposed to be doing. First of all, I don't know if this is what God wants me to be doing. So I was trying to figure out first, before I even went back into it, is this my path? Is this what God wants me to do? And not to be doing something that I just want to be doing, you know, here on earth, because I want to do what God wants me to do. I don't have time to make any more mistakes in my life doing what I want to do, per se. But I do know right now that he has given me the word to go back into it. So it was like a fresh fire, like a second wind that he gave me about my business. So now, just this past week, you know, I've been updating my website and marketing myself on social media again, and I'm actually getting inquiries, and I've only been doing it for a week. So I'm kind of just feeling like, okay, this is my path. This is what I'm supposed to be doing on this level. And then I'm just trying to figure out or ask God for revelation on how the two will actually merge, that I'm able to help people, you know, help his children or do work for the kingdom, you know, being a marketplace, I guess, prophet or prophetess, if you will.
Okay. Well, I never use prophetess, because until we go back to doctoress and teacheress and, you know, policess and firemaness or whatever, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do prophetess. So I don't do that. So it's okay. You know, we've dropped it. Now, I know a lot of churches do it, but then a lot of, well, you know, the church is like 25, 50 years behind anything anyway. But so you don't have to put tests on the end of it. I never use it, because if we're not going to be all put it on everything else, we're not going to put it on that. Let me say this to you. Have you taken our assessment as yet?
No, I haven't taken your online assessment.
Okay, so that's where I want you to begin. I want you to take the online assessment. Now, you're going to want to take the prophetic one, but I would recommend that you take the minister's one first. Then once you take that, get your advisement. The advisor can then direct you. What you need, what you will appreciate, is the advisement that comes with the assessment. You know, you do it, you get a free 30-minute advisement that walks you through it. Then you can decide if you want to pick up a prophetic advisor to help you merge those two destinies into one profitable enterprise.
Got it. Okay.
So that is what I would say, because you are clear that you're called to the prophetic and to the marketplace. And even though we understand the concept, And even if you read 1,000 books on it, you still need that live person who's done it or doing it to coach you all as you go along the way. So that's what I would recommend for you. The first thing you want to do is take an MAQ. After that, the advisor will tell you where to go from there. And ideally, you'll pick up a regular advisor, because if you're launching this business, you are going to need somebody that's helping push, pull, and promote this thing in the spirit for you while you labor in the flesh.
Right. Okay. Got it.
All right. So,
yeah.
So that was easy. I think I can pray for you now, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you called about a house in Georgia. Are we just going to throw that in the prayer?
Yeah, well, that is what I've been because God told me to move here so quickly and things happened so fast, we just kind of just picked up, moved our whole family, and kind of just left the house. So, I mean, it's still in my husband's name and everything. He still owns it. But at this point, because I know that God has me entering and has us entering a new season, I'm not – and the house was in litigation, and now it's not. And so the bank is calling, like, I guess they want to try to do maybe a modification after we tried for, like, since 2008 to get one, and they kept playing games with it. So at this point, I'm just trying to – I've been praying to God and asking him, like, should we just leave the house and whatever happens with it, or, you know, should we try for the modification and rent it out? I'm just trying to get some kind of revelation from him just so I can be prepared, not anything to, like, trying to push him into doing anything or, like, God, can you hurry up, nothing like that. But I'm just the type of person, I like to kind of be prepared and have an idea of, I don't know, what I should be doing. So that's just what I've been praying about with the house, because it's kind of holding us up, I think, from buying a house here in Texas and kind of like setting roots and really, you know, making this our home now. So I'm not sure like what's going to happen with it or whatever, being that it's, you know, we still do own the house.
Well, you own the house and you're defaulting on top of that. So here's what I would suggest. I would suggest you talk with your bank. Be honest, if there was a way for you to modify it and rent it out and then put it on the market at the same time, then I would do that properly. But just abandoning it is not going to make your life easier. It's going to make it more difficult for you. And you need to clean that up if you're talking about launching into a new place. So
right.
Don't talk to the bank. Tell them what happened. I don't care how you say it. You know, we had to move. Whatever you want to say, I don't know how the story goes. But I would tell you, if you can do it in a way that clears your name and you know, kind of begins to heal your credit, that's a more prudent step than just ignoring
okay.
it and letting it go away. Then get yourself a nice little, don't rent it to family account or, you know, fam. They're not going to help you there. Okay, so you don't want to do that, but maybe you might want to get yourself a little realtor or a little property manager or something and rent the house out that way and, you know, and to collect the rent on it. And really, I have found that, you know, if people know you as you are like that, they're probably going to mess over your rent. So you want to be very careful. Let somebody else do that kind of searching for you, but do not, by all means, don't neglect that. Wrap that up as much as you can.
Okay, all right, thank you.
You're very welcome. Father, thank you so much for Takesha and for who she is and all of the things that you're doing in her life. I ask, God, that even with this house situation, you take control. Lord, connect her with the representative that is going to bring about your will, your purpose, and your resolution to this matter. I thank you for doing it, giving her favor in the land, favor with the bank, and then, God, giving them favor where they are. Lord, I thank you that the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord, so they can expect that you will order their steps from henceforth onward, and that they will obey and yield to you, that they'll hear you, obey, and perform what you say. And as they do, you will lead them into a place of a broad place and green pastures and still waters. I thank you for doing it, Holy Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, and have a good day.
You do the same. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Thank you.
You're welcome. Prophet Ashley?
Yes, Dr. Price.
We happen to have another call.
We happen to have another call. And checking in is Tia from Georgia, who we saw when we were in Florida. She was calling to say hello, and she said you addressed something in your exhortation, cleared up a lot. So I think her list shifted to just general prayer and to say thank you to you. So, Tia, welcome back to the Paula Price Show.
Good afternoon, Dr. Paula Price.
Good afternoon, Tia. How are you doing in Florida?
I am doing fabulous now.
So what's doing? How did I get the pleasure of talking to you today?
Oh, well, I have been meaning, I finally got the opportunity to meet you in Fort Pierce, and you did what you do, which is you spoke about my dream, and it's so interesting. You interpreted my dream for me, and it's so interesting that today, basically what you told me when we were in Fort Pierce, Florida, was your exhortation today was a follow-up to that for me. Because you were telling me about how God was, you know, he was using me, and I did say, you know, I was tired and, you know, not another thing, and I just need to take a break, all of this stuff. And so it was hard to hear, but it was so necessary. And it took me a while to really process it because I think I was really into my emotions and just kind of being tired from it all. And so one of the things I had been saying to the Lord is, Lord, how do you want me to do this again? And so when you were given the word, I know everybody has been on Facebook and everybody is calling in saying that that word was for them, but I'm telling you the word was for me. The exhortation was so for me. I'm so blown away at God, how I always am, but it's just, he's so amazing. So I wanted to tell you, thank you again. I cannot thank you enough. I'm so grateful to God for you and what you've been to us, especially for the giants out there who are looking for the teaching, the learning, the just instructions. Because what people don't understand is that the exhortation that you gave today, for so many of us, that's all that we need to hear, that extra push. Because people aren't being taught and they are seeking and they really do have a heart for God and they're trying to do things the right way and they've done things their way and they realize that they've done it wrong, they're looking for teachers, mentors, shepherds, pastors who will say, you know, it's not something strange that you're experiencing. You're in the right place. You're in the right vein. Just push. Just understand what the process is so you always come along at just the right time to give so many people that push right before what I believe is that point of, Lord, I really don't know what else to do. You know, I don't know how to handle the emotions of feeling like you've done everything that you're supposed to do out there. You know, you've been up on Mount Carmel. You know, we gave you the glory for it, however, da-da-da-da-da. I mean, you just hear so much. If you've been in your wilderness for 5 years, year six is too long. So then you start thinking again. There's always about there being something wrong with you. So the exhortation, I know it, I believe it, that even through us who heard it today, it's going to touch so many more it's going to touch millions from the thousands that will hear this. Because we know how to go to that next level of pushing and pressing and enduring and moving forward. So I wanted to tell you how loved you are, how appreciated you are, I'm grateful. And I think my other thing as far as prayer, I really and sincerely would like for you to pray that for those of us who we know that this word was for us, how to walk in the word that the exhortation that we received today, how to just walk it out. So that's my prayer.
Well, it's interesting that you gave that first of all, I thank you for your kind words and your exhortation and encouragement, even for me. You know, I need that encouragement, as we all do from time to time, to know that even though you're a little, you know, you're unusual, you're not the norm or whatever, but that it's still God. I want to thank you and all of you all who let me know daily on Facebook and Twitter and all of that, that you're touched and blessed. That means a lot, and it's encouraging because the Bible says, you know, how forceful are right words. You know, right words have force. And so I appreciate that. When you were saying, when you were talking about how to fit, how to walk it out, God was showing me. He took me to the mountain where he was with Elijah, and I looked at him. And God said that after Elijah had his rest and he took him, you know, from the brook and he took him right into the mountain where they met, because, you know, mountain is where you're going to get your instruction with God, because God's high and he's elevating us. And a mountain lets us know he's elevating us. The valleys let us know that he's humbling us, and the level ground has let us know that he's walking with us. Now, you know, so we're ready for the mountain. If you're a giant and you're asking God this question, you're ready for that mountaintop experience. You're ready for God to begin to call you up and say, listen, let's talk now, because now you're past the whining, the offending, the accusing, the murmuring, the complaining, because God's not going to come down from where he is to listen to that. He can hear that from afar. So we're past that. And now you're ready to hear the instructions. And what did he do with Elijah? This is what he did. He said, okay, you're all done. You healed up after he showed him, okay, he wasn't in the storm. He wasn't in the fire, right? He's in a still small voice. He's saying, our relationship has changed. Now I'm treating you as one I don't have to yell at and do great big, you know, persuasive phenomena for to get you to know it's me. We have crossed over in this last exploit of yours, and now we understand each other, and now you are on my team. We are now partners. We're side by side. And you say, well, how do I know that? Because he got something about where Elisha, what Elisha pulled off for God, caused him to earn the right to not see death. God did not let hell touch him again. They could not touch this guy again. He crossed over in such a powerful way because he put it all on the line for the king. He crossed over, and when it was time for him to leave, he just said, okay, go get him. Not, okay, well, let's see, how are we going to lay him? How are we going to kill him? He didn't let death touch him. Death is God's arch enemy. It's also God's arch punishment, and he didn't let death touch him. He came and got him. So that means that they crossed over after Mount Carmel, and between Mount Carmel and his departure, which wasn't very long because God was telling him how to anoint the replacement, because we knew Elijah was getting ready to leave, and that was going to change time. It was going to change the course of history and the course of life events. What did he do? He gave him instructions. He said, go do this and go do that and go do this and go do that. I wrote an article in my Facebook, I don't even remember what it was, but a couple of weeks back, about knowing that when a prophecy is ready to be fulfilled, rhema, the logic of the prophecy starts happening. God starts giving you the logistics of how to get back in the race, the logistics of what to pick up. He starts giving you the step-by-step wisdom and procedure. That's how to get back in. Start looking for the specificity. When a prophecy first begins or when God's word first comes, it's broad, it's vague, it's very fluid, it's very it's almost ambiguous, although it isn't, but it seems ambiguous, and it also seems that it fits everywhere because you don't know where it's going to fit. As you get to the point where you have arrived here and where so many of you that you described are standing today, it is time now to expect logos to talk. Rhema was good. Rhema gave you the doctrine, the discourse, but God is going to give you the instruction, and you need that counsel. Now he's going to start telling you, do this, do that, go here, and it's not going to be vague, and you have to be prepared to listen. And the only time you earn that right to hear it that clear from God is when you have proven to him, demonstrated to him, that you're going to obey and that his words are not in vain. And here's why it's important, because if he doesn't do it if you aren't ready, because the minute God gives you specificity, the minute he gives you concrete instructions and direction and you don't do it, you have courted his judgment. He now must force his will on you because he cannot let his word fall to the ground unfulfilled. And that's where this is a counsel to all of the giants, all of the people that I was talking about, the exploiters, the Elijahs that are coming down from the mount, from the mountain, because Elijah, what is it? He broke through on a mountain, Mount Carmel. He broke through in a mountaintop clash. He went on, he came down from that mountain, went on the run with a national price tag on his head. He goes into hiding, and he's again wiped out, but God takes him to the Mount of Restoration, the Mount of Reassignment. And so that's where you all have to get ready to go. And in that mountain, it's a business meeting. It's not a call. It's not a summon. It's anything. God is like, you know, because God asked, well, where are you, Elijah? We were working. We were clicking. We checked. Because spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, he went off the scene. God knew where he was physically, but he was saying spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, he's off the scene. I need to get you back in the game because I only have one of you, and only you can do what I want, and I'm getting ready to take you, so I need you to start replacing. And he started replacing because God is saying, I'm changing time. I'm turning the page. There's a new chapter coming, and I need you to set up this new chapter so that I can keep moving with what I have in place. So I would say to you, if that's helpful, I would say to you that you want to position yourself spiritually, emotionally, and psychologically to, number one, find out how your relationship changed with God and most likely upgraded itself between the last time you did your exploit and now you're at this reassignment meeting. So you're going to find out who God is to you and who you are to him in this particular chapter of your walk with the Lord. That's the first thing. The second thing is you want to find out how he's going to communicate. And thirdly, and I feel most importantly, you want to get the logic of the next thing he's calling you to do because it's specific. It's not the, he's not going to give you incubated prophecy because while you were off the scene, he was incubating and you were gestating what he's going to have you do next. So I don't know if that helps you. Does that make sense to you, Tia?
Yes, ma'am, it absolutely makes sense. And when you were saying that, what I was thinking about was, as a part of the transition, I think I spent a lot of time when I said I was looking for, like, teaching, instruction, mentorship, and all of that. It's like I was, the things that God was giving me, and I always felt that he was giving me things for other people. What I'm finding out is that he's saying, I was speaking to you. And it's like I spent so much time seeing other people as like the giants and trying to help promote them and, you know, hold up their arms. And it's like I feel like God is saying, it's like he stopped me. And literally I feel like he's telling me, I was speaking to you. I was talking to you. And so it's like I'm having to shift my mind, which shift everything really, to realize and understand, you know, again, it was a part of the process. It was a part of the purpose. And I just really want to encourage some people because I'm telling you, I really know that there are people that are listening that are where I am and where I was, and I'm going to tell them what helped me. They need to go back and listen to the recordings on Blog Talk, and when they listen to the recordings, what the recordings actually did was it gives you a step-by-step of how to, like, literally transition out of where you were, because a lot of people are with people, have connected themselves to people, and they've made a temporary place a permanent place, and they feel stuck and don't know how to come out. And literally what you've been doing for a while now, but especially the last couple of weeks, on how to transition from mentorships and go to the next place and how to lead the right way, for those of you who God is telling to do so, it's like you laid out a plan on how to do it for those in whom God is speaking to. So, yes, what you said made absolute sense.
Well, I'm glad, and I thank you for the exhortation. And all of you all, I can say that I agree with 100%. I only have 2 minutes. I'm going to pray. Every one of you go back and listen and continue to do it. If you haven't taken the assessment, take the assessment. If you want to get one of our prophet advisors, call the number on the website. You can get one of us to help you go through what it is God has you going through or to get further direction and guidance. Tia, I'm all for you. Great things are going to happen for you. You have said the things that God needs to hear for him to kickstart the next dimension of your life, the next season of your life, and the next stage of what it is that you all are working on together. So I bless you in the name of Jesus, Father. I thank you for sealing everything that happened with her and all of our callers today. God, even though my voice is going off the air, let your voice continue to speak to them as you lead them and guide them by your Holy Spirit, correcting, nurturing, and directing as you see fit. God, we are calling for the giants to get back in the race. We're calling for the exploiters to pick up their next task. And most of all, God, we're calling for your glory to happen in these bold as a lion and these soaring eagles that you're putting back in effect, back into commission for your kingdom. We bless you for today. Got to go, folks. We're running out. Love you, Tia, and all of the rest of you. We'll see you next week on Blog Talk. Check us out all week long. It doesn't stop now. It's 24/7. God bless you.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time seed or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.